guys. Welcome to the Pink Blue United podcast. My name is TJ. I'm here with Dan and Colin. We are here to talk, I think, day three draft picks today. Although the second round is also day two. So third round and beyond. I don't want to get confuse anybody as more than I'm confused myself. Anyway, how you guys doing? How you guys feeling today?
I don't think I can participate. And I prepared to talk about Solana meme coins only. So if you guys want to pivot to that, and we can just talk about meme coins and pump and dump schemes, let's do that instead.
This podcast is brought to you by Bowdoin.
Yeah, buy Geo Bowdoin, please, God.
Yeah, everyone go buy Geo Bowdoin. I promise there's nothing, there's no scam. It's not a scam.
Well, there really isn't a scam because the whole thing is that it's nothing. It's just a joke. So
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Just buy the joke.
It's a scam. Yeah, buy the meme coins so that Dan and I can make a couple bucks at your expense.
And we can do this podcast full time. That's really why.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Money's cool, and I don't give a shit about any of that stuff.
You know, Colin, it's probably for the best.
When you're on our yacht, you can tell us the same story. Me and TJ are going to buy a yacht with our winnings.
I'm still coming. So I get the yacht regardless. So it's all
good.
That's
true.
You have to sleep on the deck.
That's fine.
Sleep on the deck. Now we're going to, you can be in the dinghy. We'll string you along.
The dinghy's for you.
Okay. I'll be playing with my dinghy in the back. That's fine.
If you buy some Geo Bowdoin, you can come on the boat though.
All right, guys, just remember, follow Big Blue United, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. He follows BB Rubens of Pod Boys with a Z on Twitter. You can download Coinbase Wallet, then Bridger or Ethereum to Base, and then convert it to Solana and Phantom Wallet, and then you can buy Joe Bowdoin.
Joe Biden.
Joe Bowdoin coin. Bowdoin. Okay. Anyway.
Bobby Bowden.
Or we could just send your money to my wallet address, which will be in the
YouTube description.
Why don't you just send money to us, period, anybody?
All right. Before we start, I want to play a clip from this Daniel Jones press conference. Because, wow, this is like unhinged. Like, look at this man's eyes.
Doesn't fire you guys up?
Look at his eyes.
Your rehab and where do things stand?
Rehab's going well. Making good progress, coming along. Obviously spent a lot of time with the trainers here and strength staff. So feel like things are going well and I'm coming along well.
Hey Daniel, and so then just to build on that, have they given you a target date of when you think you could be fully cleared?
The plan is to be ready to go by training camp. So that's what I'm shooting for. And
all right, I just want to know, the people who still like this guy, this is the guy that you want to be your starting quarterback, the most boring man on earth, Danny Milktoast Dimes, eyes of Adam Gase. Who on earth wants this guy to be the quarterback? I don't understand it.
I've got a question. It's very much related, but I think you both know the answer. Is it possible, and there's many that went through there, is it possible he is the absolute dumbest person to ever graduate from Duke University?
No. Yes, I believe it. Hang on. Who do you think, who does it better? Adam Gase or Daniel Jones?
Call me crazy, but I think Gase's look has a little more confidence to it.
Yeah, I agree.
He knows what he's doing.
I agree.
Jones is more scared somehow.
Yeah.
He's very alert, though. And I do want to bring up, I don't know if you guys want to go back and watch that clip again on YouTube. Around the 21-second mark, there is a interesting sniffle. When with those eyes combined with that interesting sniffle, I'm just wondering, is a random drug test coming for Daniel Jones, do you think?
I'd like it to happen.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that he might need one of those tests, but I don't think he knows what sort of, you know, amphetamines he's on. I think he just has a cocktail they give him and he takes it. Then he goes to the facility at 4 a.m. and then leaves at 8 p.m. and
it does sings nothing.
Country music.
It does nothing in between. He's the first one there, the last one to leave, and he does nothing when he gets to the facility.
No, he just waits. He waits for someone to tell him to go somewhere. Yeah, okay, I'll go. And then he goes and does something. And then they're like, you're done, Daniel. And he's like, oh, okay. He's got nothing going on, that guy.
Practice is giving the worst responses to interview questions possible. most boring responses.
And
I like to design his bedroom. What do you guys imagine he has in his bedroom? Do you think he has any?
White walls, clearly. Bed sheets? He's got one tacked up poster on the wall that country band he likes.
Yeah,
that's Zach Bryan. No, it's white walls. I agree with that. It's only white walls, one poster, Zach Bryan, and then a race car bed.
I love it. Let's hop into the draft. I mean, we could make fun of Daniel Jones all day. To recap last week, we had a couple ideas about one and two. Whether or not a quarterback's going to be there, we don't know, but we were kind of landing on quarterback, wide receiver, and then, you know, a myriad of other things in the second round, which we'll, you know, make a final decision on when we do our official mock draft next week. But let's jump into the pick three. A lot of guys here that are interesting position-wise. I think, you know, if we have, you know, secured a quarterback in the first round, where do you guys want to go from here? Do you think this is the round where you go for your wide receiver, defensive interior? Do you think cornerbacks on the board, anybody interesting? Maybe an edge rusher. I know safety is another place the Giants might look to go. I personally don't think that's a huge position of need. An offensive line, of course, I think we'll end up spending some draft picks on that. I mean, I don't think we need to, like, you know, necessarily go round by round, but lay it on me, guys. Who do we like? Who are we thinking? That athletic freak that Dan wants in the seventh round, sixth round, I should say.
Well, I've kind of rounded it down to, especially with the idea of quarterback in the first, because we already have some depth and a little bit more of a strengthening on the line, like we talked about, and we will add to it, of course, it's not absolutely key to get another lineman in the second. So why not get a wide receiver to help out whoever we drafted as a QB in the first? And one who I've consistently seen kind of right where we're picking and I've liked the tape of and what he's all about is Xavier Leggett or however you want to pronounce
it. Look at that little Leggett go.
Exactly. I want to say that more than anything
else. Except he's not little, which is why I also like him, Colin. 6'3", 227.
You know, I've seen his stats, physical attributes vary depending on what website is talking about him. I've seen as little as 6'1". And as tall as 6'3", and I feel like that's kind of a drastic change in height. I mean, who's got the right one?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I guess the shorter one probably is probably accurate.
He's actually 5'6".
Imagine.
He's actually 3'6". They just switched the numbers by accident.
I like Xavier Leggett. Concerns obviously are small sample size playing wide receiver. He's a converted quarterback. The comparisons you always hear are the Deebo Samuel thing, which is cool. Like a youth been like that. I do think we might need a receiver with more route running polish to pair with who we already have, which is, you know, we're thinking about our wide receiver core. I'm mainly thinking about Jalen Hyatt and Wandale Robinson. Have some a reliable sort of move the whatever they're called, move the sticks kind of guy. Would be cool, but I'm along the same lines as Colin. I think, like I mentioned last week, the strength of this year's draft is at wide receiver and offensive line. So in the second round, I've been looking there primarily. If there is a cornerback I like in the second, I don't hesitate to take them. Or in the third round, I've been grabbing safety a lot. There's like three or four sort of top ranked safeties that continue to fall to the third round. This is all, if we're doing this sort of speculating that we're taking a quarterback in the first.
We can speculate either way. You know, what do you guys think? Who do you think is a third round quarterback in this draft? I mean, maybe
a third round quarterback?
A third round quarterback.
Spencer Rattler.
Do you think Milton lasts to the fourth or fifth round? I mean, he's probably got a great arm, but he's very raw. I mean, who else is like around that area? He's a guy from what's it called?
The Tulane quarterback.
Yeah, Michael Pratt. I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, I think he's sort of a guy that the ceiling is like a serviceable backup quarterback.
Yeah,
which is not necessarily what we're looking for if we have you know, Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, in my opinion.
So if we go late round quarterback, you think like Joe Milton is your guy, just with the physical attributes, you know,
exactly. Maybe
he's the most raw guy out there with the best talent physically.
Yeah, and I'm all for that because not every team has what we have in Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka in sort of one of the better spots for a raw athlete at quarterback to go. You know, if there's something there with Joe Milton, this is probably one of the best situations we're going to end up with to find out if he has the skills. I think they've proved their ability to shape quarterbacks. So I'd be pumped on it because to me that obviously signals they see something in it, something workable. And if they are able to figure something out with him, then we're like, then the sky's the limit. Then we're super excited. But
mostly,
I'm not as excited about sort of like, you know, like the guy from Tulane or other sort of run of the mill skill set guys.
What about the guy from Tulane?
Awful. Well, I mean, you can't obviously teach height, weight, speed, and he's got all of that. And a lot of these guys in the later rounds are just kind of like, they were good at their schools. They're mediocre, you know, in terms of their intangibles and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to take someone like that and see if you can mold them into an NFL quarterback. So yeah, I'm with you, Dan.
I mean, we've seen it plenty of times. I mean, you know, you could even say Dak Prescott, you know, he was a late round pick. He ended up being pretty good. You know, you don't always have to mention like the Tom Brady's of the world and whatnot, Russell Wilson. But you can hit in those later rounds, but it is rare. It is rare.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think who is really like a late round pick as an NFL starter? Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins.
Well, Kirk Cousins was like a second round pick, right?
I thought he was I thought he was three or four. No,
second? Didn't they go like Robert Griffin, then QB, Kirk Cousins, QB like back in to back? Or maybe third. Right.
Wow. Let's, what a great franchise that is.
Hey man, I'm for it. If you don't have a quarterback, get a quarterback.
And then, you know, don't re-sign him.
Kirk was fourth round.
Fourth round.
Oh, that makes more sense to me. Any.
I think he dropped though. I think it was like a value thing.
Yeah.
Like, how did this guy drop? But yeah, that's.
I mean, yeah, but we'll see. I also, you know, I think I'm leaning heavily to hopefully trading up or hoping someone falls to six in the first round, QB wise.
They draft Michael Penix in the second, then Joe Milton in the fourth, and just kick off Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. Just kick him off the team.
No, Tommy DeVito. They made a whole rule for Tommy DeVito so he can be on the roster. Yeah, yeah. In terms of other guys, I like. Third round, fourth round. I think defensive tackle is a huge thing that nobody's talking about. Yeah. I mean, we really need somebody. I like Devondre Sweat. I know we mentioned him last week. You know, he likes to drink and drive, so he might end up falling to this area of the draft. Another guy I really like from Clemson is my favorite names in the draft too is Rook or Hororo.
Yeah.
Clemson, 6'4", 300 pounds. Yeah. He's a big boy, and he's got some moves. He's more of like a power guy. So I think across from Dexter Lawrence. Someone who could be, you know, take up space, be a bull rusher type.
Yeah.
I think that's the cool thing to think about with looking for that second defensive tackle is you remember you're pairing him next to Dexter Lawrence, who's going to demand so much attention. So if you get a guy that's just like insanely strong and powerful, like he could have a huge impact just for even it being raw or like doesn't have a lot of tape, like just. The exponential factor of being next to Dexter Lawrence is cool to put some of these like freaky dudes out next to him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and if Kayvon, you know, really builds upon last season, you really have a nice pass rush. Three guys up front that are like crazy good. And then plus, you know, whoever you're adding in, if they can literally just take up space, take up blockers, they're going to open up opportunities for, you know, your big money guys on the outside and inside.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a defensive tackle I've been taking with like one of the last picks in my mock drafts. I don't know if you guys seen him pop up, but Gabe Hall from Baylor.
Yes.
You're familiar? Just the descriptions I've read on him. 6'6", 291. He's got the raw athletic score of 9.25. And he plays like a sort of a 3-4 end, like the big end type position.
Yeah.
He's not overly anything, but they say he's got a ton of energy and hustles. And I don't know. I think like that could be an interesting piece, a rotational guy that you find that could rotate in immediately and find him in the fifth to seventh round.
from what I read about him too, he sounds like another Chris Canty kind of character.
So the size, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which, like, you can throw him anywhere on the line and he'll have an effect. He may not be a straight pass rusher, but he has a little bit of a flash of that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, actually, defensive tackle in this draft is interesting. I don't think there's really anybody like a first-round guy, really. Brandon Fisk, maybe the second.
Yeah.
I do like a lot of those guys from LSU, too. Mekhi Wingo, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson. I usually find one of them in the fifth or sixth round in mock drafts, and I think, you know, Wingo's a little bit of a smaller dude for the position, 6 feet, 285, but, you know, SEC, I think he's better – player than what he'll be, where he'll be drafted, just in terms of what this draft has depth wise. So, I mean, I think you can maybe, if you don't look at defensive interior early, there's still some guys later on that have had success that you can probably plug in as a day one starter. I mean, with this talent around him.
I think there's two positions that we're not exactly thinking about because they don't feel like exact needs at this time, but I feel like at anywhere in the draft, besides, I'd say, the first or second round, don't be surprised if we just kind of take a flyer on somebody because the staff likes them. Edge rusher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not sexy for this year because Brian Burns just came, but, like, get that rookie situational guy, you know, you only need more legs to be chasing after the quarterback. And what it sounds like from some of the interviews that Bone's been giving recently, like that article I sent you guys the other day, how he wants the defense to bring a lot of violence to the field, which is a lovely thing to hear. I mean, that's what you're going to hear that regardless, but it sounds like it's going to be hearkening back to the old pass rush days of old for us. Mainly being the four down linemen as the main rushers, with not so much blitzing from all over the place. So it's kind of the anti-Wink defense, it sounds like. But he's still crafting the scheme. But I do think that edge rusher is probably going to be on the table at some point in the middle rounds.
You know what's funny? Do you think that, like, the league calls him after that and be like, oh, don't say violence. The game's not violent.
Yeah.
Even though it clearly is. Like, that's like the last thing that they want you to say, right?
Yeah.
There's
a classic thing you could say.
Yeah.
There's a couple of mid-round edge rushers that are kind of interesting. I feel like the guy from Washington who has the specific Islander name, I can't even think of.
Braylon Trice from Washington?
No, he's got a specific Islander name, and I forgot.
Oh, Zion Tupelo-Fetu?
Yes. That's a good example of someone that you could just, you know, take a shot at. Or Austin Booker from Kansas kind of sounds like an interesting character. He's a little bit on the lighter end.
Isn't he more of a linebacker?
Yeah, but they show him as an edge rusher.
Okay.
In a lot of places that I've
Yeah, he's supposed to be Austin Booker, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, Colin. I think edge rusher this year is pretty thin. But, you know, there could be sort of like traits guys that you find. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's anybody I'd really be too psyched taking with the second pick, considering how critical it is for this team. Yeah,
of course.
Third round and beyond.
Chop Robinson is there. Do you pick him second round?
Who?
Chop Robinson. I see him fall. Do you pick him second round? Or
I guess I wouldn't be that upset with that.
Yeah, right.
But it's so hard, man. It's so hard. If we get a quarterback, I'm gonna really want us to get either an offensive lineman or a wide receiver with the second pick.
Philly.
It's probably not logical at all, but that's just what I'd really like to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and edge rushers, Chris Braswell from Alabama, I think, is a guy who fits well in with what the Giants do on defense, just because he's an edge rusher from, like, a linebacker position.
Sure.
250, 6'3", 4'6", 40. I mean, Alabama, so, you know, they have some better transition to the pro than some of the other schools. And it's a guy like in the third round. Who else? Darius Robinson. He's a big dude. I think he might project more to be like an end. I don't know if he's going to fit well with the Giants scheme, but I do like how big and fast he is. Yeah. I mean, Austin Booker's good too. There's a bunch of, like, solid mid-round pass rushers here that I think you can probably get somebody who can be you know, at least like your third or fourth option as your pass rusher in, yeah. in like the fourth or fifth round. So whether or not it could be guys early, that,
yeah,
I'm not again, like you can't be against targeting edge rushers and cornerbacks at, like at any point.
Can, I feel like these edge rushers are going to be guys that we, if we draft one in the second or third, once we start reading about them, we'll like sell ourselves on them.
Sure.
They'll probably have some, they all seem fairly unique, but not very celebrated for their college careers. So mm-hmm. it's all going to be potential that we're going to get excited about.
There's just like a load of guys like ranked, you know, with the rate, like mid 80s ranking, like 20 guys in a row with the same ranking.
Yeah.
You know? I've read a ton of draft profiles where, and I feel like I've not really seen this a lot in recent years where it's just like, you know, not a lot, just like you said, not a lot to get excited about in their college career, but they have the traits to translate to the NFL. And if they're coached up, then it's someone to be possibly excited about. I'm just like, well, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but like,
yeah,
I get it.
It's just strange. There's like a lot of other factors, like stuff like that. And then these guys that have been in college for 6 years because of the COVID year yeah. and a redshirt year. And that always gives you pause. And I don't know. It's, I mean, I think we've mentioned in previous pods, but projecting defensive guys has been really strange this year because it's been weighted so heavily towards offense mm-hmm. that there's no defensive player ranked in the top 10. They're projecting like 22 plus offensive players in the first round. And I don't know what that is necessarily a symptom of, if it's just a super, super heavy offensive draft or things are changing the way we're watching college football and projecting to the NFL is changing. But for the Giants, who have one of the worst offenses we've ever seen, it's like hard to get overly enthusiastic about a defensive pick.
Hey, it works out for in our favor. I've done drafts, and I feel like in years past, I'd always, you know, by rule, and it's silly. It shouldn't be like this. I always tried to balance out the amount of offense and defense that I would get. And I've done mocks where the first five picks are all offense, and I don't care.
Same. And you grab two guys at the end on defense just to. Yep.
Yeah, two edge rushers right at the end for the hell of it.
Yeah, or just like a tall safety. Oh, he's 6'3". Yeah, sure.
Should the Giants spend a draft pick on a halfback this draft or not?
I've been taking one in the last round.
Yeah, last round or free agent. That's it.
Anyone in particular?
Yeah.
That Louisville guy is who.
That's exactly who I'm high on too, Colin. It's so funny.
I've actually been passing Louisville, Isaac Guarnardo.
Yeah.
Who just lit it up at the combine, right? Yeah. I've been passing him for another guy that I've done barely any research on, but I heard one guy talk about him, Tyrone Tracy from Purdue.
Yeah.
Also had like is 5'11", 209, and has a raw athletic score of 9.78.
He was a converted wide receiver. So
yeah,
that's why he's going to be drafted so low because he doesn't have much experience as a running back. Like what he needs to improve on is like his vision, but. Apparently he's very gifted athletically, despite you know some of those numbers that you saw. But yeah, I'm with you, Dan. That's so funny that you guys both mentioned the two guys I wanted the most at halfback in the late rounds.
Well, I mean, because it seems to me first off, the reason at least I am, and I assume you guys are, is we want to get a guy in like the sixth or seventh round and then automatically replace Saquon's value and production and be like, see what we've been talking about for 5 years. And yeah, it'd be great if it was a guy that was just like a wide receiver, got converted to running back and is doing more than Saquon's been doing.
Yeah.
And we have Devin Singletary, who's fine. It'd be cool to take a shot on, again, a traitsy type of player.
I like the idea. I mean, I feel like I just want a bruiser. And the Isaac Guerrero Valley or whatever his name is.
Guerrero.
He's fast, but he's also very big, which is like, was he like 6'2", 230 or 220 or something?
6 feet, 221, ran a 4.33.
Yeah, incredible.
6'3", 240? Is that what you thought?
Well, 230, I said.
Yeah.
I mean, 222 and 230 is not too far from each other.
But 6 feet, anyway.
Whatever.
He's fast, he's big, you know, he's similar to Saquon, and he can catch, he can run, he can't block at all. So
perfect.
He might be like the exact guy to replace Saquon's, production.
great.
You know, I want to ask you guys a fun one. What do you guys think of Jerry Rice's son?
I think he's a name only.
Yeah. Where do you think he ends up getting drafted? Fourth round? You think he makes it? You think someone picks him in the fourth? Or think it later on?
Yeah, I think he's later on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard nothing about him that's that interesting.
I don't know. It's just funny to bring up that he's in this draft, and then you have, you know, Marvin Harrison's son, who's, you know, so widely thought of as like the best prospect in years, and then you have a guy's son who was, you know, the best, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in NFL history, who didn't turn out to be, you know, genetics are a weird thing, you know. I wonder who's Jerry Rice's wife? Who's Marvin Harrison's wife? Why did Marvin Harrison shoot that guy? There's a lot of questions to know the answers to.
These are questions that we ask ourselves every day.
That's keeps you up at night.
Yeah. I could have sworn Marvin Harrison Sr. was in jail, and then I saw him on the sideline. And I'm like, man, if you have millions and millions of dollars, you can kill somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, rest in piss, OJ.
Yeah, exactly. What was that? What's that line? Vince Neil from Airheads. Vince Neil only did 30 days and he killed somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
We're partying. We got all kinds of beer.
My favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely not sexy, but I can totally see us going for another tackle or guard in the middle rounds as well.
I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah. And one I've been kind of coming around to often is Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, because I feel like you can't go wrong with Notre Dame offensive lineman. So
yeah, I'd be happy grabbing him in the fourth.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think picking offensive line in the fourth maybe is something that I want to do, but if we did, there's a couple guys. I like Ethan Driscoll from Marshall just because he's 6'8".
Ooh.
He's got that like huge build body. He's totally developmental, but like a guy for me that you want to take a flyer on in the late round if they're available. Caden Wallace from Penn State is another good guy. He's like 24. So he's got, you know, when you look at prospects that are older, I think offensive line is one where you're kind of okay if the guy has a little more experience, just because of, you know, the technique, you know, issues that a lot of guys have. You know, Evan Neal, cough. He was great for Penn State. Frank Crum from Wyoming, another guy I like. Frank Crum. Excuse me. I just like the name. Sorry, I had to do that.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite guy in the whole draft is probably Kingsley Sumatea from BYU in a later round. I don't know if he'll make it to the third round, but
probably,
if he was there in the third, I would take him for sure.
Yeah.
I have him a cusper of end first, early second.
Yeah, I'm with you, but. It's something, you know, the rankings that we base these things on are just so vastly different that you never really know, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. One of the guys I've been coming around to recently as more of a third round pick is Roger Rosengartner from Washington. Is a tackle. Says he's really explosive and flexible. I think he could be a really interesting guy, a super competitive, sort of tenacious, sort of gritty offensive lineman, which I would love to throw in the mix. And one of the characteristics that I always like, especially when you're not going in the first or second, is flexibility and ability to play not necessarily center and guard, but more of tackle and guard. I would take a shot on one of those guys more quickly than sort of, you know, a 6'8" tackle that is purely a tackle play. But no, there's a lot of interesting guys to call in, Blake Fisher. There's also the guard prospects, sort of the middle there, Brandon Coleman from TCU. And the one that's, I think, is sort of trendy now is Dominic Puni from Kansas.
He's a small guy.
Yeah. He's 6'5", 303.
But
I think he's sort of an athletic interior offensive lineman that a lot of people like. Again, 24 years old, but you know, some interesting players. I don't necessarily care that much if they're 24 and play guard.
Yeah,
no. Other interior linemen, I like Zach Zinter, Cooper Bebe are both two guys that have popped up in my mock drafts a lot. I think Zach Zinter is he West Virginia or Michigan?
Michigan.
Yeah. I just like remember the colors.
Yeah, I get them confused every time too.
Yeah. Two guys I could see with a mid round pick. I think the Giants need more help on the interior line as time moves on. I don't think there's any real guard on this roster at the moment that is someone that I'm seeing playing for this team 4 or 5 years from now. So I think if they can find someone who could be, you know, a stalwart from the line next to John Michael Schmitz and whoever ends up playing right tackle, Andrew Thomas and whatnot, that's a positive for me, especially if it's, something we can get in the third, fourth, fifth round. I want to ask you guys if there's any other, I know you guys are not big on the defense, but the Giants clearly need to get some defensive backs. So I know, Dan, you mentioned picking up some safeties later in the rounds and any quarterbacks or safeties you guys like in these later rounds.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Age before beauty.
I was going to say Evan Williams from Oregon, just because his name is pretty sweet. So
That's the kind of guy. It's the kind of guy you take a shot at.
Oh, hey.
He's the kind of guy that they sing about in Daniel Jones' favorite music.
Yeah.
Is there anything about him that you like, or just the name?
No, I just like the name. But I actually do want to talk about, and I've brought him up before in the past, and I've actually looked into him a little bit further, but Elijah Jones from Boston College. Seen as a cornerback, not a safety in this case. I feel like he would be a good addition. There's a lot of smaller defensive backs in the middle to late rounds, and he's one of the few guys that has a little bit of height, so I feel like he might have some versatility and not someone who could start day one on the other side of Banks, but it could be a developmental kind of situation. I mean, all the guys that we're going to be picking at this point are going to be developmental anyway. It will be interesting to see. I mean, Adoree hasn't been picked up yet, correct?
No.
I mean, hell, he might even come back cheap.
He did not have a good year last year, but in terms of what's available, he is one of the better options.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I think we possibly could get our day one starter in late free agency, at least to kind of like, all right, let's see how this goes while we're getting everybody else who's younger up to speed. And again, with Elijah Jones, he went to Carmel Hayes High School, so he's a he's a Manhattan Bronx guy. So it's kind of
sweet. Now, let me ask you a question about defensive back. What player do you think is like the most of a locker room guy, lunch pail guy, high motor in the defensive back room?
Oh, easy. Wait, in the draft or in our
in this draft in the defensive backs, who's got the highest motor?
Mike Sanistro from Michigan.
Oh, I thought it was DeGene.
Oh, Cooper DeGene.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
But actually, Mike Sanistro from Michigan is a guy I do like in the fourth or fifth round. He's a little bit shorter. His speed isn't fantastic, but he's got that adaptability, football IQ. Something I like is a smart quarterback. If you think about guys who like Ed Reed, who one of my favorite players of all time, was physically gifted, but way smarter than he was physically gifted. That's really what made the difference for him.
He probably was, actually. That's an interesting point. I mean, he was a physical freak, but like even when he got older, he was ripping it up, and like that was his brain that was doing that more than
anything. The best Ed Reed story is when he tricked Peyton Manning by doing the run coverage and then picked him off.
Yeah,
you remember that story? That was good.
It's great. Oh man, missed that guy.
Yeah. Another guy like from Gers, of course. We always support the Gers, Max Melton.
Yeah, he'll be earlier though. Yeah.
I think he could be in third round.
I think he might be in second.
Yeah.
I've been taking him in the second.
I've seen him drop to three or four, honestly. But like again, we said, I mean, the rankings are so vastly weird at this point. You really can't. That's why it's like hard to pinpoint like, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Those things change up to like the last minute, I feel like, of the draft, you know?
Well, I like Max Melton as well. Anyone look at Kalen Carson from Wake Forest?
Yes.
I think he might be a nice pick in the third. And then We mentioned Mike Sandstrom, but safeties, there's sort of like a grouping here that I'm pretty interested in. It's Cole Bishop from Utah, Jaden Hicks from Washington State, Javon Bullard from Georgia, and Kalen Bullock from USC. I think I like Jaden Hicks from Washington State. 6'1", 211, and he is just super productive in college, really good athlete, good on the ball and can blitz. Just seems like an impact player, and I wouldn't think he'd be – I think he could start immediately. Check him out. And the most interesting safety – not the most interesting because there's that dude from Miami, right, that's like 6 feet tall or like 6'6", or something. Another one I just found was the Oregon State safety, Kitten Oladapo, 6'2", 216. Kitain, K-I-T-A-N.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
I saw his name was Kitten.
Yeah, but they basically like say he's sort of like a freelancer, like a monster back, like we've been talking about. So it'd be cool to like have two of those guys on the field, do real like amoeba defense.
There was a bunch of guys that I read that had very similar profiles to each other, where they were just like, they were the natural leader and athletic leader of their respective defenses. So they're like, they were the star of the defense, you know, across the board, which is interesting and not necessarily in the first or second round too. So that's kind of cool that they're dropping a little bit like that.
Agreed.
Another thing I like, in this draft, there's two cornerbacks. One is 6'4", one is 6'3". Kyrie Jackson from Oregon, 6'4". Cam Hart from Notre Dame, 6'3". I mean, have you ever seen a cornerback who's 6'4"? I don't know how that works. He runs a 4.5 40. You probably don't have the agility to move around, but it's just like interesting if you did. I don't know too much about these guys. I just kind of look at their physical metrics and it's just sort of intriguing to me. Just to have someone that tall. Playing on your defense in the back end.
They're almost inevitably going to be converted to safety.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, ability to change direction is stiff. Shocking. It's 6'4", the cornerback. Surprising. And then also, guys, want to touch on, I think we ran down the gambit of positions we liked. I mean, is there any, are we going to get a what?
Your sound is very, you might have to unplug and plug back in real quick.
Yeah. Muted.
Muted, oh, but yeah.
No.
Unmute yourself.
Was it the Mickey Mouse thing again?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was like Terror Robot.
I can't wait to hear it, because I've never actually heard it, but every time like we start, Colin's always like, you sound like Mickey Mouse.
It's great.
Or Kermit the Frog, person. Mm-hmm.
So what the question was, is there anyone else interesting we should chat out?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I mentioned the most of the guys that I liked.
There's one guy. The wide receiver from Alabama, Jermaine Burton.
Yeah.
I keep hearing more and more about him. I think he's sort of not like the most likable guy, but he's got elite speed. He basically plays the position really, really well. He might be a little lean, but there's like a huge upside to him. So that's someone that, might be there in the fourth round. That could be a guy that gets unlocked and a good situation. But
why is he unlikable?
I think he's like a jerk. I mean, like in the locker room.
Oh, that's not great.
I don't know from that's verified, but whatever scout or reporter or I was listening to, they said he's like diva-ish. But they said like what he does in the field when he chooses to try, like he could be like a more highly coveted prospect. He's got all the tools and the ability. He just turns it on and off,
Okay.
I saw an interesting article today that was saying, do you think Bryce Ford Wheaton has any impact on the Giants draft strategy for wide receiver?
You mean BFW?
BFW.
Yeah.
Blowing 1E fast.
I don't think he plays any role in what's going to happen this draft, but I still love the measurables, and I would love for him to not get injured in preseason.
He's the Derek Zoolander of wide receivers, can only line up on the left. Love that.
Do you think he's more promising than what was our boy? Ramses Barden. Yeah.
I hope.
I mean, Ramses Barden was like a guy who you spent the draft pick on who played in the NFL. Bresser Wheaton, just a dude you picked up who, you know, may or may never actually play in a game.
Ramses Barden barely played in the NFL.
No, you know what he's famous for? He's famous for blocking for Victor Cruz on the 100-yard pass against the Jets right before it was Christmas Eve.
I was at that game.
Yep, me too.
So were you. Ramses Barden, 38 years old, January 1st, 1986, great year. Let's see. I'm trying to find out his career stats here. He's a handsome fellow. 29 receptions, 394 yards, no touchdowns in four seasons.
Woof. That's bad.
I mean, he had one reception his rookie year. That's more than BWF. I want to keep saying BFW.
Yeah. BFW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, like, I kind of wish it would be the most boring thing ever, but I kind of want to see film of his and see why he sucked so bad. Like, what was the problem? You were 6'6 and fairly fast. Could you just not, I don't know. He didn't know the routes. He didn't know the plays. He didn't know anything.
He's got a Kadarius Toney thing going on.
Oh, he's a bad rapper?
he's just not that smart, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to, you know, be mean to anybody, but I don't think that I am physically gifted enough to play in the NFL, but maybe I could learn a playbook. So you guys have that, you guys have that on and everybody, obviously.
Yeah.
Probably get a lot of chicks too, because you're in the NFL. I never did. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anything else tonight, guys?
Looking forward to our official mock draft next week. That's going to be fun.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. I'm going to sit there like, with my Danny Dimes eyes out, getting ready, analyzing. All right, keep your eyes open, guys, for our for our annual mock draft coming next week. That's the one that you'll want to watch on YouTube, and I will get that YouTube up immediately next week, as well as this week, because I'm trying to do a little better on the YouTube aspect. So you guys do like watching us instead of listening to us. Expect a little bit more content on the YouTubes.
Yes.
Indeed, baby.
Yeah. All right. See you guys next week.
Sayonara.